This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, we're going to have a lot of talks about Cleveland today. And sadly, not in the positive for what happened yesterday in Cleveland as they get swept out in four. And some very interesting comments following that sweep, Jensen. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Trust you me, America, we're going to talk much more about the Knicks because they're going back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999 and try to win it for the first time since 1973. There will be plenty of Knicks talk here on this show today, as we've done this morning and throughout the next week. But very quickly, after being humiliated 130-93 to be eliminated in four, you get swept away in your own building. Jensen, I want you to hear some of the comments that we heard yesterday. We're going to start with James Harden, who not only thought that he played really well and emphasized his own defense as part of that realization that he thought he played individually well, but also felt like, you know, yeah, I know the Knicks 1-4, but maybe the Knicks really weren't the best team.
I can't even answer that question, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot. You know, from a standpoint of the circumstances, you know, obviously they dominated us 4-0. But, yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question just because genuinely I do feel like we are the better team. But, you know, series wise, you know, it didn't show it. So it's a tough question to answer.
I like that you want to support your guys and you want to put on a brave face and say, we just didn't, you know, I know we're better than they are. I know the scoreboard injury, but I know we're better than they are. It just, again, and then when he talks about his own play, and by the way, he disappeared in the second half. If you watch it, he quit. There's no other way to put it. He had one shot attempt and it came off a steal. And then at least Donovan Mitchell was still trying. But Jensen, when you hear that disconnect, and we're going to hear from the head coach, too. I really don't know what to say. It kind of leaves you speechless.
That comment is an embarrassment to the profession. You got your rear end handed to you for four games, yet, oh, we were the better team. Get the hell out of here. One of the greatest Houdini acts that we've seen in professional sports in primetime in a long time. That dude, I wouldn't even pick him if he was the best team at recess. There's no chance I want that kind of mentality on my team. Own it. You got beat. You got dominated. End of story. Get work in this offseason so it doesn't happen again. That would probably be the answer I would give. What an embarrassment on so many levels.
Well, Kenny Atkinson had some interesting comments as well. And not only maybe did he feel like they got the short end of the stick from the scheduling of the league, but also this is going to date back to Detroit and Toronto. Let's hear from the head coach of the Cavs.
I'll tell you what didn't help was losing those two game sixes. You know, haven't been in this, you know, kind of a long time and seen this before. I think you have to take advantage of those opportunities. And the way the scheduling's set up in the league, and you know, that's a whole nother topic I could go off on. You know, you get on a hectic schedule. And that's not to say, oh, we win those games, you know, we beat the Knicks. I'm not saying that. But I think it gives us a better chance. But I think the density of the frequency of the games, with it, never had 2 days rest, you know, the whole deal. You know, played a part in it. Definitely, I'm not going to say that's the reason we lost, but we would have had a better chance. I think we win, you know, we take care of business in those game sixes. I think that's the, if I have one regret, that, you know, two regrets, I guess you'd say.
Wow. Okay. Nothing with this series. The regrets came from losing the game sixes in the first two rounds? What do we? First, the analytics stuff yesterday that really we're up 2-1. And then this, you followed up. Like, I'm not trying to dump on Kenny Atkinson here, Jensen, but what is that?
Oh, the rest days. Oh, we didn't have enough rest. So that kills me. It's like, what were the analytical advantages of 1 day's rest versus 2 days? Get the hell out of here. Those two guys, Harden and Atkinson, that is a masterclass in word salad and what not to say after you get swept in a postseason series. Listen, Dan Gilbert is a very impatient owner here, Dave, in Cleveland. Not to say that Kenny Atkinson's out, but you've got borderline fireable offenses the last couple of press conferences.
Yeah.
You can only be so much in the weeds on the numbers before, you know, the last I checked, the human beings play the games. And, you know, to have one of your best players and James Harden basically ineffective for the most series, that's on some, not only the player, but the coaching is, you got to make the adjustments, man. So, I didn't realize how bad Kenny Atkinson was down, but that's pretty bad, my friend.
Yeah, we've talked about it in our terms of, you know, betting of like, who do you want to go to battle with you, right? And I want guys that are going to fight. They don't have to win all the time, but I want you to fight. And when I hear that we got unlucky, we won the analytics game, and the scheduling was the problem. That's not the type of fighter I want in my corner. And certainly Cleveland, that's rough to listen to if that's the rationalization that the head coach and one of the star players is having. I'm not hearing that from Donovan Mitchell, by the way. Hurricanes, they get the win last night north of the border in the Bell Center, and now they have retaken home ice advantage. Again, that hasn't meant a whole lot here because, remember, Montreal did win game one rather easily down there in Carolina. Carolina, you know, eked one out in game two at home in overtime, ekes out another one here in overtime. But eking them out doesn't matter. Just keep winning, baby. And that's what they're doing now, up 2-1. They're a decided favorite back in the Bell Center tomorrow night here, over $1.40 betting favorite. I don't want to say that order has been restored yet in this series, but it does feel like Carolina may be exhaling a little bit this morning.
Oh, an order has been restored and the lockdown has ensued here, Dave. And I realize it's back-to-back overtime wins, but you only got, if you're Montreal, you only got 13 shots on Frederik Anderson. I know you make a couple of them stand up. The power play goal in the second period was really great. The give and go with Cole Caulfield and Lane Hutson, that was awesome. But outside of where we were in game one, this is the undefeated Carolina edition from the first two series, man. This is a freight train that has picked up speed and gotten back on track in so much as the phrase goes here. Listen, Jakub Dovish, he's going to be a really, really great goaltender for a long time. But this just might be too much here as you got Gostisbehere early, Taylor Hall early, and then Svechnikov gets the overtime goal here. Hard to look at a Montreal side now, just knowing what you see defensively and how limited, Dave, the offensive opportunities have been for Montreal these last two games.
Yeah, and again, they've gone to odds-on favorites to hoist Ward Stanley's Cup. Think about that. With that win last night, -$1.10 in the betting market this morning. So prices on the move now that they look like they're back to being the big bad Carolina Hurricanes, playing that defense in front of Freddie Anderson. And really limiting those chances. How about the Astros? They limited all the scoring chances for the Rangers. Combined no-no yesterday. And the Miz in Milwaukee, he just keeps moving up the odds board here for the Cy Young, Jensen. Those feel like the headlines last night, and the Cubs have now lost 9 in a row.
Yeah, let's start with the combined no-no now. 5th one for the Astros in their franchise history. No other team has more than 2 combined no-hitters. It was the 17th regular season no-hitter in Astros history. Tatsuya Imai, Stephen Okrad, and Oliver Santa combining on that one. You mentioned Jacob Mizrowski, and correct me if I'm wrong, now the second betting choice behind Christopher Sanchez after another dominant performance. 57 pitches of at least 100 miles an hour. And to think about the free fall the Cubs have had. And Dave, we are just getting to the end of May. They have now had 2 10-game winning streaks. They may get to a 10-game losing streak if they fall again today. What a roller coaster ride for the Northsiders it has been in the first 2 months of the season.
And later on, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit about the Astros. That's a team I'm starting to keep my eye on a little bit in the AL West. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Big reveal time here, Jensen. We know that the baseball tournament is set for the 2026 NCAAs. The road to Omaha is officially and will begin here. Where are you headed and which brackets really stand out to you?
Country roads, take me home. Headed to Morgantown, West Virginia for the Morgantown Regional. And what a regional it will be. I know we're getting the World Cup here in about a month's time, Dave, but I made the analogy. This regional feels like the regional of death because of how even it feels between West Virginia, the top seed, Wake Forest, and Kentucky. Binghamton, shout out Danny Higgins. His cousin plays there for Binghamton. I get to cover them back-to-back years, had them in Athens last year. But Dave, a lot to break down. We will touch more on the Daily Diamond about some of the easy regionals in my eyes and some of the tougher ones, Morgantown being one of those. But we are going to have a really, really outstanding weekend all across the country.
Again, we had Matt Eumanns on in the last hour. Like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. You can listen on your time. And he asked you about UCLA, specifically a plus 550 is the number that Matt got. And I guess the point here is shop around, right? Because we're only seeing about 4-1s out there pretty much market-wide. So if you can find some of those good tickets, maybe Jensen's still a time to get in before we begin the road to Omaha officially.
Yeah, and if you like some of those favorites, you're thinking about UCLA, Georgia Tech, Georgia, you might want to up those odds playing a little NBA Finals cross-sport parlay. Oh. That could help you as well. So much more to dive into in the odds board and the futures as well.
Do you mean like maybe a massive ticket, like say Knicks to win the NBA title and the Yankees to win the World Series? Something like that, Jensen?
That'll work.
That'll do. We're going to have Greg Peterson join the program here next. Get all of his action on the diamond tonight. That's next right here. VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to talk with Noah Bienick in the very next hour, talking all things college baseball. Jensen, we can't wait to have Noah back in the program, but we look forward to our conversations with the man they call Hoops, but he knows his baseball as well. Host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and also the baseball betting show. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. Joins us once again, the Progressive Guest Line. And, you know, we were picking your brain a little bit during the break here about some college basketball for next year already. Maybe a little Elijah Arenas here to be player of the year at 1,001, Greg. Is that a bet that would interest you here in May, or is that a wait-and-see approach for you?
For one, I'm just not a believer in doing college basketball futures here in May because there's still a lot of roster building to do. And if you're LSU, who knows who's going to be eligible at this point? They might be looking at Shaquille O'Neal to see if he's got some eligibility as well. And if there's a will, there's a wait, apparently, in order to try to get these guys some eligibility. That was interesting. No shortage of chatter here on Coops, Coast Hoops for that podcast because, man, typically in May, I'm grasping at straws to be able to find something good to talk about. Thank you, LSU, for making my job really nice and easy there. So there's that, but yeah, I'm not going to be riding with Elijah Arenas here because typically the Wooden Award winner has more than zero assists, which might be the case for Elijah Arenas this upcoming season. Has not met a shot that he's ever disliked ever.
All right, so the Nationals have been assisting their pitching staff quite well in the offensive department here. One of the great over teams so far in Major League Baseball. Greg, do we head right back there at Progressive Field after the Homer Fest early against Tanner Bibee yesterday? Do they find their way back to an over this afternoon or this evening there between the Nats and the Guards?
Yeah, they made Tanner Bibee's nickname Hickory yesterday because that guy got smoked. Holy crud. If you had the over in that game, you were not sweating at all. And I do think that you're going to get some run scoring here once again. I don't know if you're going to quite get the starting pitcher like Bibee did to give up 7 runs, but for Joey Cantillo, I think he's doing for a little bit of regression. He's been giving out about 4.3 walks per nine innings. I'm right now seeing the Guardians right around minus 135. And for the Nationals, you're getting about plus 120, plus 125. If he could get the upper half of that number, plus 125, I do like the money line. For the Nationals, they've been scoring 5.5 runs per game. My biggest fear with this offense is that it's a little bit top heavy with James Wood, CJ Abrams really carrying the mail for these guys. But now you've got Dallin Lyle. You saw Curtis Mead yesterday have a pair of home runs. Feels like the other guys are coming along for the ride. And I really like Cade Cavalli as well. Kid that I know we were talking some college baseball in the previous segment as well, was a star when he was in college baseball as well. If I'm not mistaken, Oklahoma on that end, he's been able to do a nice job giving you about 9.5, 10 strikeouts per nine innings. He's keeping the ball in the yard. Guardians have been averaging over 4.6 runs per game here in the month of May. So like the over and the Nationals on that money line.
You know, Greg, I don't like to play against streaks, and I did bet the Battle and Buccos yesterday against the Cubs and cashed that ticket here. This would be 10 losses in a row for the Cubby Bear if they lose today against the Pirates. It's not necessarily always playing the streak. You're playing the matchups as well. But, man, can you look to the Cubs today to try to end the streak? You want to keep rolling in the opposite direction.
You could look to the Cubs if you'd like to. I'm not going to. Like, man, this has been bad to say the least. And I've been on the wrong side of a few of these losses, truth be told. Like, I was thinking during that Astros series, it's like, all right, here's a slump buster right here. I thought that a few times, and I'm just coming to the realization that, man, that slump buster might not be coming for a while, especially with Jordan Wicks, who has made as many appearances on the mound at the MLB level this year as the three of us. And the three of us are currently not on an MLB roster right now. And for Wicks, for his career, over a 5 ERA, 1.5 home runs, 3 walks per 9 innings, he wasn't even good at the minor league level this year. Meanwhile, Braxton Ashcraft, he has been great for the Pirates. He's been giving you about a 2.85 ERA, 3.20 fielding dependent. He's giving up about 0.8 home runs per 9 innings. Isn't really walking a lot of guys. And this Pirates offense has been so different at home rather than away from home. Away from home, they're an okay offense, but at home, they get into the top four in terms of run creation. With a guy like Wicks on the mound, the Cubs bullpen has been quite shaky with dealing with a lot of injuries. Now they are getting back some of these guys like a Caleb Theobar. I do like that 8 to the over. And for the Pirates, you're finding that right around about minus 130. I like them on the money line.
Great minds think alike, Greg. Let's head to Kauffman Stadium. Royals and Yankees will do battle again tonight, and we get the short shot, at least right now, in the American League Cy Young market, and Cam Schlittler on the mound. Bailey Falter, old friend of the program, gets the ball here for Kansas City. I'm with you on the under. Big reason why, more so Schlittler, the opportunity to limit what has been a struggling Royals offense, and do we get any resistance here against Bailey Falter as well?
Yeah, and for Bailey Falter, he's been living up to the name. 9.82 ERA this far this season. That said, he's not going to be long for this game. He has not won more than three innings in a start this far this season. And you look at the career numbers, he honestly doesn't walk a lot of guys. He's okay in terms of keeping the ball in the yard. He just gives up a lot of general contact. And this has been a Yankees lineup that hasn't been the greatest in terms of getting you runs away from home. Averaging about 3.9 runs per game away from home, compared to nearly 5.7, 5.8 runs per game at home. So massive split there, but you mentioned it, and we were talking about it in Cubs versus Pirates, not going against the streak. How do you go against Cam Schlittler right now? I mean, this guy has been absolutely tremendous. 10-plus strikeouts per nine innings, 150 ERA, a fielding independent below a two. He's not giving up walks. He's not giving up home runs. Now, for the Royals, it's been a significantly better offense at home rather than away from home because they did move the fences in at Kauffman Stadium, but still, Vinny Pascatino, Salvador Perez, when are these guys going to get on base for the Royals? A sub-295 on base out of both of these guys. Really, other than Bobby Wood Jr., not a lot of consistency here for the Royals. If I absolutely had to play the side, I'd be looking at the Yankees right around like a minus 125 or so to the run line, but I'm much more interested in backing the Yankees by taking the under.
Yeah, I was on the Royals yesterday. Felt pretty good with that Bobby Wood Jr. homer in the bottom of the eighth, and then the ninth inning happened, Greg. So, yeah, it's been rough for the Royals to score enough runs here to give you any wiggle room here late in those games. What about a zigzag theory here for the Astros? They no-no combined yesterday against the Rangers. Can Texas get off the deck for your liking today?
Yeah, and Jason Alexander's making the start for the Astros. No relation to Seinfeld, by the way. Great show, but That said, what is not funny is the fact that he's at a 7.30 ERA with 1.5 home runs and over four walks per nine innings this year. Not something you're going to be laughing about if you're a Houston Astros fan. Astros, they entered in the day yesterday with the worst ERA in all of baseball. Go figure, a guy by the name of Santa Claus comes in for the save. By the name of Santa comes in for the save. So that's great to say the least. But I do think that this is a get-right spot here for the Rangers. For Arlington, this ballpark has really suppressed offense as far this season, but Jack Leiter doesn't seem to be really following the script because he gets about 10 strikeouts per nine innings, but does give up 1.3 home runs, 3.8 walks per nine innings. For the Astros, they were really able to avoid catastrophe because Yordan Alvarez had to leave one of those games in that series against the Cubs early. He's really been the heart and soul of this offense, especially with the likes of Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa deal with injuries. So getting him back and seeing him homer on Monday has to be very encouraging there. But I think that this is a good right spot here for Texas. I think that they get to Alexander. I do think that they get to that bullpen. I was seeing some eights before. You're seeing still a few out there, mostly eight and a halfs. But whether you've got an eight or an eight and a half, I think that the Rangers bounce back with their offense, like the over and the Rangers here on the money line.
All right, good pitching matchup yesterday in a low-scoring affair at Petco Park between the Phillies and the Padres. Phillies get it home. Do we get a little rebuttal here from San Diego's side and even up this series later on tonight?
Yep, and with the San Diego Padres, the pitching has been amazing. The lineup has been leaving a little bit of something to be desired. When you've got bases loaded with no outs in the top of the first inning and you don't score any runs in the game, that's not a place where you want to be. That said, a place where you don't want to be is Aaron Nola thus far this season. 6.04 ERA, giving up 1.6 home runs per nine innings. Everyone was saying coming into the year, oh, bounce back year for Aaron Nola. These are pretty much the same numbers he had last year. Like, almost identical. Like, last year he had 6.01 ERA with 1.7 home runs per nine innings. I think we just need to buy into the fact that Aaron Nola is not very good at this point. And for Randy Vasquez, he's one of the most improved pitchers in all baseball. Sub-3 ERA, not some strikeout artist, about 7.4, 7.5 strikeouts per nine innings, but really doesn't hurt himself. He doesn't give up a lot of walks, less than one home run per nine innings. And it's still a Phillies group that has been in the bottom eight in the big leagues in terms of run creation away from home. Feel like they're starting to wake up a little bit. Kyle Schwarber on pace for 63 home runs, also on pace for 237 strikeouts this year, but on pace for 63 home runs this season. I think that that helps you out with regards to this total. Do like that over, as I do think that the Padres get online here against Nola. I like the Padres on the money line.
All right, one more zigzag here, Greg, in about 30 seconds. Under game yesterday for the Dodgers and the Rockies, maybe flip that script today and get to an over?
Yeah, and you've got the debut of Eric Lauer for the LA Dodgers. So bad that he pretty much got himself off the Toronto Blue Jays after a nice, hearty north of 6.60 ERA and over two home runs per nine innings. Kyle Freeland giving up over two home runs per nine innings, an ERA above a seven. If I had to play the side, I like the Dodgers on the run line to just pretty much win a slugfest here. Was seeing that between 8.5 to 9, whether you've got an 8.5 or 9, I do like that over in the zigzag spot.
Greg, great stuff. And again, yeah, you've always got stuff on the college basketball front to talk about, and certainly every day with the baseball betting podcast as well. Give him a follow. GUnit_81 on X. We're coming back talking AFC week one starting quarterbacks and some odds associated with it. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here, looking ahead to September. Can't wait already for the NFL season again. But look at some of these quarterbacks and certain teams here, and talked a little NFC earlier. Let's talk some AFC this week. And let's start right in your city here, Jensen, with the Cleveland Browns, because right now, there are four quarterbacks technically on the roster. I don't think they're going to be carrying four. I would assume that one of these guys, maybe Taylor Green, very talented rookie coming in, might be the guy that gets to the practice squad. We shall see how that plays out. Don't really know about Dylan Gabriel, and you see the numbers associated there. Green's 80-1 to be the week one starter. Gabriel's 55-1. Had a couple starts last year, but it's new. We're under new management, if you will, in Cleveland, at least from a head coaching perspective. So this Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, all that's not with the new guy, right? They're not tied to him like Kevin Stefanski might have been a year ago. Shedeur is plus $1.58 to be the starter week one, and it's the return of Deshaun Watson. Right now, you got to lay almost 2-1 to be the week one starter. Now, Jensen, you've got your ears to the ground there in Cleveland. What are you hearing so far? I know it's early. We'll figure out how camp shapes out. But right now, at least in the odds market, it's leading us to Deshaun being back behind center in week one.
This is the age old. this is a quarterback competition. It's not. The owner wanted him, gave him all the guaranteed money. Deshaun Watson is starting week one for the Cleveland Browns unless he gets hurt. So let's just go ahead and whatever number you want to lay there, $2 for him to start. That's happening. And for all intents and purposes, you have to get something out of the investment that you made for $230 million. So hang tight, Shedeur Sanders. Again, this is also a Brown schedule, Dave, that is on paper one of the easier ones. If you're looking at just opponent win percentage, there probably is a bit more optimism, and it's delusional optimism usually in Berea, Dave, because if you talk to any of the beat writers or people that cover the team, it's always over 500 for this club, yet that hasn't happened in quite some time. So I would expect Deshaun Watson week one in Jacksonville. I would expect him week two in Tampa Bay. Nice little Florida swing here for the Browns to get started. And then at home against Carolina, I think you start looking at if they are 0-4 out of the chute, if they lose to Jacksonville, Tampa, Carolina, and then eventually to Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, week five might be that first time where there could be a quarterback change for Todd Monken and company. But until I see or hear anything different, this really isn't a debate. Deshaun Watson is starting week one for the Cleveland Browns.
Could be some good value there because, again, sometimes you can find value in favorites. So to Jensen's point, at $1.96, if that you're not fearful of an injury, of some sort of setback that we don't see right now on the horizon, barring that, that feels like a pretty good value to lay on Deshaun Watson to be your week one starting quarterback. This is interesting when it gets to the Chiefs, because unlike Deshaun, who's coming back from a lot of different things that are not injury related necessarily, Patrick Mahomes is coming off of a devastating injury from a year ago. Now, depending on social media and if you believe in a guy's golf swing is something that tells you he's ready to play quarterback week one, that's what the Chiefs are doing. They're putting out videos of Patrick Mahomes playing golf, saying, hey, look pretty good. Minus 720 to be the week one starter, to be back in fold for that Monday night tilt against the Broncos. Justin Fields, well-traveled, and Justin Fields has been a starter in three different spots now, in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, and with the Jets, and hasn't exactly worked out in any of them. So clearly the backup here to Patrick Mahomes, he's 5-1 to be the week one starter if Mahomes was not ready to go. Any other quarterback, you don't see this very often in this market right now, you can get that long shot play here at any other quarterback at 35-1. Now, who are those other quarterbacks? Chris Oladokun, you might remember he had some starts last year when Mahomes went down with a leg injury. And Garrett Nussmeier, the rookie at LSU, remember he was drafted very late in this draft, is technically on the depth chart as the third string. Let's see who wins that battle, because you would assume they're only going to carry three. But Jensen, we got to play doctor on this one. You want to lay 720? That the medicals on Mahomes are good enough to lay that type of price point?
Yeah, won't be involved in that market. And for what it's worth, when they signed Justin Fields, I mean, Andy Reid did publicly say he is a, quote, legitimate starting quarterback. And I think at the time, this was all predicated on insurance for the first couple of weeks should Patrick Mahomes need a couple of extra weeks of recovery. I'm with you. We've played enough golf to know how much your lower half, if it is compromised, you could be in some real trouble. The swings that I've seen from him, didn't see any wincing, didn't see any issues, didn't see like favoring, you know, a side another. I don't know about you, pal, but all indications would be he's going to get there for that week one start. And it's a big one too. I think that's the other underlying part of the handicap is it's a divisional game. So why wouldn't you put your best foot forward knowing how competitive the AFC West is going to be?
Yeah, again, we kind of kid about it. But if you do play golf, you know how much you got to use your legs in a golf swing. So I got to think that the Chiefs would not be okay and greenlight him to go play golf unless they felt pretty good about coming into May, June, July, that he's going to be there for the camps and do all the necessary things he needs to do. If he's out there doing that in May, I think that's a pretty good sign. Again, I'm not going to lay 720 on medicals, but it does seem like all systems go. And look, Justin Fields, to the point about Andy Reid, he's a backup quarterback. I know he says he's a serviceable or he's a starting quarterback in the league. He's had multiple chances to lock down teams and hold on to jobs, and he's not been able to do that, whether it was Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, certainly back in the, Eberflus era there in Chicago, and then going back to the Jets here. So it feels like at this point he is who he is, and he feels like a capable backup that you don't mind playing for a couple weeks. Remember, he did that with the Steelers when Russell Wilson got hurt and played pretty well there for a couple weeks, but then again lost the job back out to Russell Wilson. That should tell you everything you need to know about where Justin Fields is at this stage of his career. For the Raiders, Kirk Cousins to be the week one starter is minus 310. And I know you're going out there, people, well, why not play the kid? Number one pick in the draft, and Fernando Mendoza, he's plus 230. And again, anybody else in the depth chart, not named Cousins or Mendoza, you get 35-1. I wouldn't be willing to make that wager. They don't want to play Mendoza. That's the point. Whether you think at home, America, that Mendoza is better than this version of Kirk Cousins, year of our Lord 2026, is almost inconsequential. It's more about the new coaching staff that's coming in here and saying, I want a veteran. It's the reason why we got Kirk Cousins, so you can be the mini-me in year number one. They want to play Kirk as long as they can play him, Jensen. So I don't know why I'd look any other way than laying the price point here with KC8 in week number one.
We think the same. And again, this was one of the great handicaps earlier in this year. Dave, when we talked with Matt Eumanns, one of his first future plays was the under passing yards for Fernando Mendoza for the entirety of the season. And I think that is still, regardless of what the number is, I still think that's a great opportunity. I believe that I got it at under 2,649.5. Just doing the rough math you and I had worked out, thinking how many games that Fernando Mendoza would need just to be in contention for that over. If you think that he plays, you know, let's say 9 games, right? Fernando Mendoza, he would need to average a little over 294 passing yards to be able to get over that passing yards prop for the season. So I think you and I logically were looking at it saying, okay, barring Cousins going down in, let's say, week 5, okay? So in essence, that gives you now, 12, 13 games for Fernando Mendoza to play. Then it's down to like 221 yards average a game to be able to get over the over prop. Long answer to justify Kirk Cousins is starting. This is just about week one, and you would have to believe that they'll do everything possible for Kirk Cousins to be ready to go in this Clint Kubiak offense.
And again, if they allow you, if you want to play these markets out here, people, what you could try to do is, because again, Jensen and I do believe that it's going to be KC8 week one, barring injury. And again, injuries can burn you here. If you can find a book that will allow you to parlay that at Kirk at minus 310, and then do that with Deshaun Watson at minus $1.96, you can get that down closer in that $1.35 area, which I think is much more palpable to digest than playing a big number. You want to throw Mahomes in there at minus 720, you can, to get that around even money. But again, you would think, all things being equal, and preseason is so different from when I cover teams and the way that coaches approach preseason versus the way they approach preseason now. They rarely play these guys. So yes, you can still get hurt on 7-7s. You can still get hurt when they do a lot of the inner squad now, and they bring in teams now. That's the new rave here in the last couple of years, to kind of do those scrimmages. So there's no touching of the quarterback. They're going to be wearing those yellow jerseys. So really, preseason doesn't play into that factor in equation that much, Jensen. But you can get hurt still fluky. Past that, I'd be willing to weigh that Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, play them in a two-leg parlay, because I don't see any other way that anybody else is starting in Cleveland week one and with the Raiders in week number one. But again, you're going to see Fernando Mendoza in time. It's just the time is not now, certainly in week one out there in Las Vegas. They want to play the veteran and let the kid learn at the feet of Kirk Cousins. So that is a quick look now at the markets here in the AFC quarterback predictions here. And this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue Jason Beeson by the books, and the clock is ticking on one of the best offers we have all year long. It's your final week to get a full year of Beeson Pro, which is normally $240 for just $199. So when you sign up today, we're going to give you 2 extra months for free. So that's 14 months of Beeson Pro access. It's less than 50 cents a day by using the promo code PRO. So with that, you get our daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, like Greg Peterson earlier in this hour, our real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays on the VSiN Watch app on your time, plus all of the special edition betting guides that we give for every single sport throughout the entire 14-month period. So that's a great deal in and of itself. This offer will expire May 31st. Don't wait. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code PRO, P-R-O, at VSIN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. And Jensen, I was just perusing during the break here a little social media. The Mets put out a nice congratulatory message to the Knicks. The replies went exactly the way you would think they would go. And Jensen, sometimes I know the social media kids out there, they're trying to get involved. They want to be a part of the movement. It's New York, New York. We understand. Don't you just sit this out if you're the Mets at this point?
Well, knowing the analytical wizardry of David Stearns, maybe they hire Kenny Atkinson there to get some of those moral victories. I do have a bone to pick with our fellow Cleveland fanfare. When you wear the throwaway little I Heart New York shirts, what are we doing? That brought me some PTSD from looking at 2016 in the World Series when it was an invasion of Cubs fans, because Dave, it felt like Madison Square Garden West at Rocket Arena last night. What an embarrassment to see that and not to go out. And I get it. Hey, I had to get up and get ready for the show today. Not like I wanted to go down there and watch them get their ass handed to them, but that was a little decided, felt like a road game at home for the Cavaliers last night.
It's why it was so interesting when the Sixers upset the Celtics in the first round. The first thing Joel Embiid said about the upcoming series with the Knicks was, hey, don't sell your tickets. Like was the first thing on his mind, Jensen. It is wild. That's a real thing. And they invaded Cleveland last night. So they're on to the NBA Finals. Who are they going to play? That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
So the Knicks are +210 to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy and win the NBA championship. Haven't done that since 73. Oklahoma City hasn't done it since last year. So now San Antonio's got the chance to possibly knock off the reigning defendings. It would go a long way if they could win a game 5 tonight at OKC. Again, you got to check Mitchell, you got to check Williams, and see the depth now that's being eroded from Oklahoma City with all their injuries. San Antonio, you do have Harper back. You do have Fox back. Now, what level you're getting out of those guys at the point guard position is still debatable, but at least you have those guys available. So depth, the check mark goes to San Antonio right now, Jensen. Is there a grave danger for OKC tonight laying the 5.5?
I think there can be. I'm very bullish on the Spurs. I'll probably get to taking the points, but I already locked in Spurs money line yesterday at +$1.65. I just feel that momentum of this series decidedly into San Antonio's favor, and it's the way that they won, Dave. I think the lack of depth, if we don't get Jalen Williams, it is already blood in the water in my eyes for where San Antonio is going to attack OKC. The defense, I can't get away from that as a former pitcher, man. You just really can lean into that side of the ball. That travels. Offensively, if San Antonio has to play a lower scoring game, I think they're fine with that. Total wise tonight, Dave, I did jump on the over at 215.5. I know we're up a couple of points right now, but to me, it feels like we could get a little bit more of a track meet back and forth. The rhythm of the Thunder offense is something that I am keenly going to be checking from quarter number one. How involved does SGA get? Will we get the free throw merchant appearing early? And what does that defensive identity look like for the Thunder and trying to harass Wembanyama and force some tough contested shots? That's my focus early. But Spurs money line tonight already in pocket, as well as the over 215.5.
Up to 217.5, so you've got the good number there already. 2 points in pocket to the good, so that's one last basket you have to worry about here. Now, I'm looking at Mitch Johnson a little bit and saying, you know, we're so used to Pop when you're talking about the Spurs and coaching. And I wonder if we're going to start looking at Mitch Johnson a little bit and say, you know, Mark Daigneault gets a lot of credit, as he should, for what's happened over the last couple of years here, especially defensively. I think OKC is where they've really thrived, but maybe, again, down a couple guys here. Do they still have that depth? It looked like they couldn't get shots off in game four. I mean, that's how good Mitch Johnson had his guys prepared to really cut off the head of the snake, which is SGA. Now, maybe it's going to be different tonight, and the venue does matter here. Unlike maybe the NHL, we'll talk about here in a second, where it does feel like home court does matter, right? So I do think that's worth a couple points here for the OKC side. But, Jensen, if you just don't have the bodies at some point, I wonder if you're just outgunned if you're OKC, if Jalen Williams can't go, if A.J. Mitchell can't go again. At some point, right, it doesn't just get down to physically, we're just not at 100%.
Agreed. A couple of props that are really popping here today. Opta AI is very bullish on a handful of San Antonio Spur player markets. First, let's go with Dylan Harper. In the points, 10 or more right now is at plus money, Dave. Plus 102 at DraftKings. Opta AI projecting Dylan Harper for over 11.5. So it might be an advantageous spot there at plus money. Keldon Johnson is 7 or more at almost even money, projected for 8 points. De'Aaron Fox, who we absolutely cashed left, right, and center, some props there in game three, 16 or more points. Opta AI has him projected for nearly 17. That's at $1.05. So it might be some places to attack there. As far as some strong plays, the strongest on the board is actually a Dylan Harper market. There's actually two of them. Points and assists, 12 or more at minus $1.15 on DraftKings. Opta AI has Dylan Harper projected for 15. So three clear of his listed line right now, Dave. Similarly, in points, rebounds, and assists for Dylan Harper, 16 or more at minus $1.03. Opta AI has him at 19. So a pretty advantageous spots there for Dylan Harper. And again, kind of in that narrative, if you're bullish on San Antonio, you got to believe the supporting cast is going to have a similar effort from what they did in game four.
I don't know what we're doing with Colorado these days here, down 0-3, and again in the finals, whether it's East or West, in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, no team has ever come back from 0-3. They've done it in earlier rounds. It's actually happened once in the Stanley Cup final, but never in the conference finals in the history of the league. So they're going to have to try to do that to win four games in a row and be the first team to ever do that here. We don't know about Nathan MacKinnon and that knee. Look, kind of like the Cavaliers ticket, which I was rooting for, but then I played the Knicks last night. I've already played VGK tonight in this spot and will continue to do so even if they don't wrap it up tonight. Again, this number has been on the move a little bit. Remember, yesterday, Colorado was like $1.20 betting favorite. It is down to about $1.09. You can get VGK at minus $1.03. You like the over in this play as well. And again, if this thing gets to a track meet, ironically, normally that would favor Colorado. I think it would favor VGK in this instance here. I actually think VGK just has more ways to win, especially if MacKinnon can't go. So this is a hedge against that bet that I have out there, Jensen, on Colorado. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow we're not talking about VGK in the Stanley Cup finals.
I just wanted to look at it because remember I told you I could see a 4-2, 5-3 Vegas win. If you want to have a little pizza money on exact scores, 4-2 VGK is 20-1. 5-3 VGK is 30-1. Just saying. You know, looking at that total of six, I tend to lean the over. That 4-2 obviously gets you a push at that listed total of six. 5-3 gets you the over. Just food for thought if you're on that side. I know why you're doing the VGK side with your futures ticket. But again, this is all about psychology. Where are you if VGK gets ahead early? And is it Scott Wedgwood or will it be Mackenzie Blackwood? I think the goalie decision, very interesting for the Avalanche side tonight.
Yeah, and again, I'm rooting against the ticket that I have in pocket tonight with VGK already, but I'd love to see Colorado somehow get off the deck. I just don't see it if there's no MacKinnon. That's the problem for me. So I actually like your overplay as well because, ironically, it might be VGK that wants to push the extra scoring chances here and Colorado, if they get out of their, they try to play some open ice hockey without Nathan MacKinnon, they were already shorthanded on the back end anyway with Nathan MacKinnon. You do have Makar back, which is a huge help, but you saw how those rushes happen and those high danger chances for VGK paying off plentiful so far in this series, up 3-0. We love chaos. We need it in the sports world. We're going to find it and see if it can be advantageous for you. Our chaos candidates are next right here on VSiN by the Bucks.